Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
To say welcome to Foundations. This teaching series is designed to help us grow in our faith and our personal relationship with God. Over the next 10 weeks, we're going to explore some foundational doctrines of the Bible. We're going to explore some foundational principles of the Christian faith that I think is going to help us to grow to be better disciples. And at the end of the day, that's what Jesus called us to be. Amen. He called us to be disciples, or in other words, someone who follows and shares the teachings of Jesus. Now, over the next 10 weeks, we're dividing these 10 lessons into two different groups of five. This first 5 weeks is going to be what we should know, and then the second 5 weeks is going to be what we should do. Don't you appreciate good practical stuff to help you in your walk with God? Now, I don't want you to miss any of these messages. I think your spiritual growth over the next 10 weeks is going to surprise you. And whether you're watching this online or if you're watching this in a small group, we pray that it's going to be a blessing to you. So let's begin with what is probably the most important question that we can ask, and certainly the most important thing that I think we should know, especially for us who are living in the New Testament dispensation, and that is this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus, right? I mean, we talk about him. We come to church for him. We pray in his name. Everything we do revolves around him, but who is Jesus? Let's jump right in. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. And I think that's a great way to put it, right? And I think that's really what this entire series is about. That's what coming to church is all about. I want to know Christ. And if you are a believer, that really ought to be your greatest desire, to know Jesus. Not just head knowledge of who he is, not just about him or who people or preachers or theologians say that he is, but to know him in a personal relationship for yourself. That's the most important thing that you're ever going to learn in this life. Amen. Have you ever really, though, wondered who Jesus is? See, because Jesus made a lot of claims, and he made a lot of statements that created quite a stir in his day, and the people are still stirred up today about the identity of this man, Jesus. He's been called the Son of Man, Son of God, Lamb of God, even God himself. He was said to have been born to a virgin mother for the purpose of being our ultimate sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. That's quite a resume, isn't it? Like any man, Jesus walked and he talked and he ate and he drank and he slept and he laughed and he cried. So what was the big deal about this man, Jesus? Well, let's begin. And we first really kind of learn about him in the Old Testament, where there were many prophecies about the coming Messiah. One of the prophets, Isaiah, made several prophecies about Jesus some 600 years before he was born. And here's one of them. I want to start right here. And again, I got a lot of scriptures for you today. You might not be able to keep up with them. You can go back and write these down later. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says this. Craig, give me just a little bit more monitor, if you will, please. It says, all right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen? And as the New Testament begins, we see this come to pass. Now, typically you'll hear these scriptures read at Christmas time, but I want to read it to you today because Isaiah said Emmanuel was going to come, God with us. Here's what the scripture said, Matthew 1:18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Now here it is. It's tying right back to what Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. So right off the bat, we learned something really significant about Jesus, and that is he was God with us. The theological term for this is the incarnation. It's a key doctrine of the Christian faith that states that God became human and took on the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. Now, that wasn't the only verse that Isaiah shared with us about who Jesus was. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Not only did Isaiah call him the Son, and we do know that he is the Son of God, but Isaiah called him the Mighty God. Isaiah called him the Everlasting Father. In one verse, he calls him Son, he calls him God, he calls him the Father, among other things. Now, this recognition of the deity of Jesus Christ, it's also supported in many places in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Look, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Look at the same verse from the Amplified version of the Bible. It says, "And great and important and weighty, we confess, is the hidden truth." Look, the mystic secret of godliness. See, everybody thinks this is a big secret that nobody can understand. But the scripture says, here it is. He, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's really not that complicated of a mystery. It says he, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 and verse 1 from the King James Version, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And what happened? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Talking about Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 14 from the Amplified. Look at this. I love this. "And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate." I love that. John 1:14 from the New Living Translation said it this way. "So the Word became human." God became human and made his home among us. And folks, it wasn't just others that made claims about Jesus being God robed in flesh. Jesus said this about himself too. Amen. I said this in the first service. I'll say it again. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. In other words, here's what I want to tell you to do. Take off your denominational cap. Take off what your auntie said and what your pastor for when you were a little kid said. Take off what your favorite TV preacher said, and let's just look at this subject through the Bible. Can we do that? What did Jesus say about himself? John chapter 10 and verse 30. "The Father and I are one." Once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. I'm going to tell you why. Jesus said, "At my Father's direction, I have done many good works. For which one of those are you going to stone me?" Now notice verse 33. This is important. "They replied, 'We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy.'" And here's why. "You, a mere man, claim to be God." The reason they crucified Jesus was not because he healed people, was not because he ticked them off when he called them hypocrites. It wasn't because he did great teaching in the synagogues or he did great things. They crucified Jesus because he said he was God. That's what the Bible tells us. Verse 38, what else did Jesus say? But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done, even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand what? That the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. See, the big deal about Jesus was not just that he was a great teacher, not just that he was a prophet or a miracle worker. What made Jesus so unique was the fact that Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus, can I get a gratuitous amen from somebody in the house today? Jesus claimed to be God, not just a subordinate of God, not just Jehovah Jr., amen, not just the Son of God, come on, not just the image of God. He claimed to be God himself, robed in human flesh. The fact that Jesus believed he was God, it's also substantiated when you ask yourself, why was he crucified? Not because of the miracles, not because he claimed to be the Son of God, because a lot of people claimed it, amen. But he was crucified because Jesus had the audacity to claim to not just be equal to God, but to be God himself. And I'm going to unpack this for you today with Scripture. Because it's recorded several times in the Gospels. Jews, they understood that Jesus was claiming to be God, and that he claimed, and anybody who claimed to be God was guilty of blasphemy. So Jesus was the Son of God, flesh, and God, deity, at the same time. Humanity and deity, all robed into one. Now let me just say this. People and denominations have tried to divide the body of Christ for many years over this issue of the Godhead. Amen? And we've created a lot of confusion with different labels and doctrines that are not even found in the Bible. Amen? But it really comes down to one key question. Are you ready? Do you recognize the deity of Jesus? Do you recognize the deity of Jesus? Amen. I don't care what label you call yourself. Do you recognize the deity of Jesus Christ? See, people refer to the Godhead as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in reality, God is much more than just that. Amen. But for us, people who live in the New Testament dispensation of time right now, guess what? You do not have to look any further than Jesus to find God. You don't have to look any further than Jesus to find God. And the Apostle Paul warned us not to get caught in a trap or a lie of all these religious arguments with people over the issue of who Jesus is. Look what Paul said, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. And look, Paul sums it all up right here. Are you ready? This is the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Verse 9, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. That's not a denominational position. That's not a preacher's spin on things. That's what the Scripture says. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Verse 10, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Colossians 2, 9 from the King James Version. Many of you grew up hearing it that way. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. We used to sing a song called It's All in Him. It's all in him. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in him. I can sing the verses too. It's all in him. It's all in him. The mighty God is Jesus and it's all in him. Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. I won't do it to you. The omnipresent spirit who fills the universe, the advocate, the high priest, the lamb for sinners slain. Yes, all we need is Jesus. Colossians 2 and 9 from the Amplified Bible. Look at this. I love it. For in him, all the fullness of deity, the Godhead. Everybody say the Godhead. The Godhead. Dwells in what? Bodily form. completely expressing the divine essence of God. Oh, I just love that statement. It's so powerful. It's so true. The complete expression of the divine essence of God is found in the bodily form of Jesus Christ. It's all in Him. Paul said, don't get caught up in empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense, human thinking about the Godhead. He said, in Christ lives all the fullness of God. That's why we serve Jesus. Amen? Now, could it be that this Jesus really is the one true God that he claimed to be? Did Jesus have attributes that only deity could possess? For example, attributes like omnipotence, which means all power. Yes, he did. Matthew 28 and 18 said, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Amen. Jesus called himself the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Isaiah called him the Mighty God in chapter 9, verse 6. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Could Jesus have omniscience, which is all knowledge? Colossians 2 and 3 said, in whom, talking about Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. John chapter 16 and verse 30 says, now are we sure that thou, talking about Jesus, knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Can Jesus possess omnipresence, being everywhere all at the same time? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus was called in the scriptures, my Lord and my God, in John 20, 28. He was called the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2, 13. He was called to the only wise God, our Savior, Jude 25. This, the true God and eternal life, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. Amen. Now here's a question for you to consider. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says that God is a spirit. How many of you would acknowledge that God is a spirit? This isn't a trick question, it's not. God is a spirit. In Acts 20 and verse 28, it says that God purchased his church with his own blood. How does a spirit get blood? Where does a spirit get blood from? If God is a spirit, but God purchased his church with his own blood, for God to do that at some point, he had to come as a man and shed his blood for us on a cross. Jesus was both humanity, flesh, and deity, spirit at the same time. He had a human mother, but a heavenly father. Amen? Jesus as a man was born a baby. Jesus as God existed from eternity. Jesus as a man was tempted by the devil. Jesus as God cast out devils. Jesus as a man was hungry. Jesus as God was the bread of life. Jesus as a man was thirsty, but as God, he was the living water. Amen. Jesus as a man slept in the storm. Jesus as God walked on the storm. Amen. Jesus as a man prayed. Jesus as God answers prayers. Amen. Jesus as a man was our sacrifice. Jesus as God was our high priest. As a man, he was the Son of Man. As God, he was the Son of God. As a man, he was the seed of Abraham. As God, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. As a man, he was the son of David. As God, he was the root of David. As a man, he was natural. As God, he was spiritual. As a man, he was physical. As God, spiritual. As a man, he was temporal. As God, he was eternal. As a man, he was 6 feet tall. As God, he fills all the heavens and the earth. As a man, he preached the word. As God, he was the word. As a man, he walked by the water. As God, he walked on the water. As a man, he was 33 years old. As God, he was the Ancient of Days. As a man, he was tired. As God, he is the rest where the weary find rest. Amen. As man, he weathered the storms. As God, he calmed the storms. As a man, he died on the cross. As God, he rose from the grave. Jesus is God robed in flesh. Is Jesus really all the fullness of the Godhead? As Paul said he was. That should answer the question. Was he really Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a bodily form? Again, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, so I'm just going to let the Bible speak for itself. Who is the Father? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What did Jesus say in John chapter 10 and verse 30? I and my Father are one. John chapter 14, verse 8, I love this passage. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Ha, look what Jesus said. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone, look, you're reading the Bible right now. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but what? My Father who lives in me does his work through me. And then I love what Jesus, how he wrapped this whole thing up. He said, just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work that you've seen me do. Jesus said, if you can't take my word for it, take my works for it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Who is the Son? Jesus, Matthew 1:21. Nobody ever argues about this one. She shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent his Son, who was born of a woman. The Son is the flesh of God that dwelt on the earth and presented as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's who Jesus is. So who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 16. Again, listen to the words of Jesus. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. How? He dwells with you and will be in you. And now look what Jesus says. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now watch these next two verses closely, okay? This is really interesting. The first time I read this, I just about fell out of my chair. John chapter 14, verse 26. Again, these are the words of Jesus. Are you ready? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, everybody notice this phrase right here. Who the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring you remembrance, all things that I said to you. Notice verse 26. Who the Father will send in my name. Now, very next chapter, John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, this is Jesus again, who I will send to you from the Father. If you didn't see that, let me tell you what it said. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. And in chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, who I will send to you from the Father. So which one was it? Yes. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I love this verse. Look. The Lord and the Spirit are one and the same. They're the same. The Bible tells us emphatically they're the same. Well, how can they be the same? We'll talk about that. But the Lord and the Spirit are one and the same, and the Lord's Spirit sets us free. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse through 6. All of us are part of the same body. There's only one Spirit of God. Just as you were given one hope when you were chosen to be God's people, we have what? only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, there is one God who is the Father of all people. Did you know, I didn't say this in the first service, I'm just going to hit this and go. Did you know this is why Jews reject Christianity? Jews are monotheistic. They believe in one God. They believe that Christians are polytheistic because we have said Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the way we've done it, the way we've divided them historically, the Jews think that we are worshiping three gods. That's why they've rejected Christianity. They believe in one God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Here is with the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. But see, they just don't understand Jesus the way we understand Jesus. We don't worship three gods. Amen. We understand that he's just one God. Amen. Who manifests himself in the flesh. Can the church say amen? And if you don't believe me, go look that up. It's true. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. For I know that through your prayers. And what? Look at this. God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You say, how can the Holy Spirit dwell within me? God's provision, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who has happened to me. The Holy Spirit, God's provision of the Spirit of Christ. Several times in the Bible, the titles God and Christ are interchanged. Did you know that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. For who you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If, notice, the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Now, which one is it? Is it the Spirit of God, or is it the Spirit of Christ? Yes. It's in the same verse. The Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How can Christ dwell in your heart? Christ as a body, Christ as a human being, cannot dwell in your heart. But Christ as the Holy Spirit can dwell in your heart and in your lives. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and what? The Spirit of God dwells in you. I thought the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Yes. The Spirit of God dwells in you. I thought I had Jesus in my heart. Yes. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. See, when we receive the Holy Spirit, are we receiving the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ? Or the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. Scripture uses the terms interchangeably because the Spirit of God is the same as the Spirit of Christ. And I'm just going to tell you right now, and I'm going to keep moving. The devil has used this to divide the body of Christ for too long. There's too much theological bickering. There's too much fighting among Christians. And some of y'all are going, what is he talking about? God bless you. I'm glad you haven't had to hear it. Amen. Just love Jesus. And be glad that he died for your sins. Amen. Jesus is the invisible, is the visible image of the invisible God. And because of that, everybody say his name is powerful. Oh, the name of Jesus. Once after a lame man was healed, the Apostle Peter told them how it happened in Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before? Faith in the name of Jesus has healed him before your very eyes. Has anybody in this house ever called on the name of Jesus? Come on, somebody. Peter said the name of Jesus, and faith in that name is what brought him his healing. Such as I have, give I thee. It wasn't silver. It wasn't gold. It was the name of Jesus Christ. See, when you call upon the name of someone, you are calling upon their authority, upon their power, upon the very nature of that person. When a king sends out a decree throughout the kingdom, his kingdom, the decree goes out under his name. Under his authority, amen? When an ambassador speaks or in a foreign land, he does not represent his own opinion. Matter of fact, he's not even supposed to express his own opinion. He's supposed to express the opinion of his embassy, which represents his government, amen? When Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, he was proclaiming, in the name of and by the authority of and by the power of Jesus Christ, rise up and receive your healing. Throughout the New Testament, It's obvious that the name of Jesus was an intricate part of the teachings of the apostles and the early church. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 reveals that the name of Jesus is the only name through which we receive our salvation. Acts 16 and 18 says disciples cast out demons in the name of Jesus. The apostle Paul admonished the church to do everything, whether in word or deed, in the name of Jesus. Amen. To the Philippians, Paul wrote, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is invested with all of God's power and authority. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, now he, Jesus, is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. The miracles of Jesus, Jesus said it, amen, they demonstrated his divine power and authority over nature, disease, sickness, death, the devil, come on, demons, sin, your addiction, amen, your depression, whatever it is, it is a force that will conquer every obstacle in your life. The teachings of Jesus revealed his divine authority. They were mesmerized by his teaching. Matthew 7, 28 and 29, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Say, hey, we've heard the teachers teach before, but this guy is different. He's teaching with authority. Even the officers that were sent to arrest him on one occasion, they confessed, no man has ever spoke like this man. To put faith in the name of Jesus is to know the supreme revelation of God. Amen? Come on, I'm so glad that I put my faith in the name of Jesus. And if you have, why don't you give him a hand praise right now? Come on. Praise team and musicians, I want you to come up. Praying in the name of Jesus expresses faith in his character, in his power, in his authority, in his presence. When the church was born in the book of Acts, the New Testament church knew that the name of Jesus was the only saving name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 said, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? Gather in my name, Matthew 18, 20. Pray in my name, John 14, 13. Preach in my name, Luke 24, 47. He said that they were going to cast out demons and receive divine protection and receive healing in his name, Mark 16, 17 and 18. They would receive the Holy Spirit in his name, John chapter 14 and verse 26. He warned that they would be reviled and persecuted and hated for his name. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Matthew 10, verse 22. After the New Testament church was founded on the day of Pentecost, the believers went forth in the name of Jesus. The Bible says they baptized by invoking the name of Jesus. Amen? Acts 2, 38, Acts 8, 16, Acts 10, 48, Acts 19, 5, Acts 22, 16. They prayed for the sick and received healing by invoking the name of Jesus. Acts 3 and 6, Acts 16, Acts 4 and 10, James 5, 14. Come on, somebody. They cast out demons by invoking the name of Jesus. Acts 16 and 18. They taught and preached everywhere in his name, Acts 5. They called on his name, Acts 9. Labored for his name, Revelation 2. Held fast to his name, Revelation 2. Refused to deny his name, Revelation 3. Proclaimed that salvation was only in his name, Acts 4. They lived a holy life to bear witness of his name, 2 Timothy 2. They bore his name to the world. They suffered for his name. I want you to stand with me right now. To sum it all up, who is Jesus? I got one final verse for you. And it's so simple yet so powerful. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Could it be said any plainer than that? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And to dispute that is to dispute the scripture. That's why I pray in his name. That's why I preach in his name. That's why we baptize in his name. That's why we sing in his name, amen. That's why I prayed for snow in his name. No, I didn't. I'll take that back, amen. Although I will pray right now, Lord, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. you know what? I remember going to an altar as a teenage boy and lifting up my hands and saying, Jesus, would you please come into my life? And I'm going to talk about it next week. I'm going to talk about our salvation next week. But I remember that moment. And it wasn't just a repetition of a prayer. It wasn't just repeating some words that somebody told me. But it was a change of heart. And it was an invitation. We call it an invitation when we call you to come. But you know what I really did? When I came down and I prayed, I invited him into my life. Jesus, change me. Fill me. Lead me. Guide me. Everything you need to know about God, you can find in Jesus. Everything that you could ever want in God, you can find in Jesus. I pray to the Father many times. I pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to Jesus. And you know what? It's no issue for me because I understand that these are all three parts of one God that we serve. Amen? And his name is Jesus. Would you lift your hands right now with me all over this house and let's just bless that name of Jesus. Father, we love you. And I praise you in this house, God. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. We're thankful, God, because the Bible tells us it's not a flesh and blood revelation, but that you've opened our eyes to know who you are. And God, I'm not going to get wrapped up in semantics or terminology. I'm not going to do what Paul warned us not to do. I'm not going to get twisted up in human thinking or vain philosophies. I just want to know and remember that you are my God and my Savior.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.